Hallelujah. Come on, we got to have a testimony. Here we go.
Hallelujah.
We're gonna break it down. Say what?
Decorating team, Sister Vita says, needs to meet in the prayer room after church tonight. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2 tonight, and then we're going to work on the whole psalm. It's the second psalm of the fourth book of the Psalms. And it's interesting, it's juxtaposed with those mournful, lamenting psalms of 88 and 89, and psalms of despair. And this is such a powerful psalm. Psalms 91. Would you say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Praise God. Let's do that first verse again. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise for it. Blessed be the name above every name. We praise you, Lord, for your word. Forever settled in the heavens, we praise you for the promise of your word. We praise you for the goodness of your word. We praise you, God, that you've defined us and made us your people by the power of your word. What a good God. What an awesome and living word that he's given us. Praise God. Everybody say the secret place of the Most High. Praise God. Salient to this first session in this psalm, important words here. 91 and 1, he that dwelleth, dwells in a continuative sense in the secret place of the Most High. Not visits, not happens upon or staggers through, not comes in one side and out the other, but he that lives, dwells, stays in the secret place of the Most High, shall live, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, and dwelling there and abiding there, it enables one to say, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. If you don't live there, you can't say that. If you don't live there, it's not your fortress. Your fortress is somewhere else. Your refuge is in other things. But if you've sought refuge there and it's something you've fallen in love with and you've chosen to live there, then you can say, God is my refuge and God is my fortress. In verse 9, again, you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. The Lord, where do you live? And then we give people addresses, or we give them cities, or areas of town, or street numbers. But the scripture says plainly here, it's possible to live, to dwell, to abide in the secret place of the Most High. To live, to dwell, to abide under the shadow of the Most High God. And for that relationship to be a refuge and a fortress and ultimately a habitation. Where do you live? Well, I live in the kingdom of God. Where do you? I don't mean to be spooky cosmic outside the realm of what's real, and but you know, there's angels all around us tonight. How many of you believe there's angels encamped around about us? All right. How many of you see them right now? It's a dimensional thing. They're here. They're here. I can feel the brush of angels. Are you just singing or do you believe they're here? When you go to bed tonight, you make sure you got that big 357 cocked and locked under your pillow. Or do you believe Gabriel's there with a sword that's bigger than... Oh, I'm not going to fuss with you about that. I'm just saying, where do you want to live? You want to live at your house? You want your refuge? You want your power? Or do you want to make the kingdom of God your habitation? Praise God. Praise God. This thing trumps and supersedes everything in life. There is a greater reality than what we see around us right now. There's a greater reality. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. If the heavens and the earth are destroyed, we're still standing upon the word of the living God. It's like surfing out in space because you're just standing there on the word of the living God. I've seen people out on the water with sails hooked to surfboards, and I've seen them hook all kind of contraptions up and fly and ride, but there's nothing like riding on the word of the living God, because the whole earth can disappear in a moment's time, and that word of God, praise God. I don't know if you can get a mental image of that or not, but I've just got to tell you tonight, the heavens and the earth are going to disappear. Everything in the natural that you see around you is just temporal and passing, but there is a habitation that is going to last forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are overt promises about this habitation and about this relationship. We dwell, we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. Verse 2. Verse 3, he shall deliver. Everybody say, he'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. My God, the devil's laying traps for you every day, but when we live there in the habitation of God and God becomes our habitation, God takes care of all of those things. I read in the word of God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. My God is on duty 24 hours a day. I don't have to be afraid. Verse 4 say, he'll cover me with his feathers. And under his wings I will trust. And his truth shall be my shield and buckler. And don't laugh at that and think it's odd. Jesus talked to Israel and he said, how many times would I have gathered you under my wings? God wants to gather you under his wings. God wants to call you in close. He wants you to hide under his shadow. Be protected under his warmth. Be protected from all the elements and everything that's around him. I don't know how many of you ever confronted a mother hen with her chicks, but they can get really ornery really quick. I got a feeling God feels the same way about his people. Devil, these belong to me. Devil, this is a child of God. The blood is on their life. The name of Jesus is emblazoned on their soul. Praise God. Praise God. There's some promises here about making God your habitation. Would you say, I won't be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. We're personalizing the word of God. You've got to do that. You've got to personalize the word of God. It's not enough for you to know it academically or cognizantly. You've got to get this thing down on an effective level. It's got to be real in your life. It's not enough to know about the Holy Ghost. You got to get the Holy Ghost. It's not enough to know about baptism. You got to be set free by baptism. It's not enough to think that there's a truth. You got to have an embrace with the truth, and the truth will make you free. The anointing will destroy every yoke. These are not just ideas. These are living principles in the kingdom of God. And they that live in the house of God, I don't mean this building. This is a pitiful example of the house of God. My friend, you need to step outside and look up into the stars if you want to see what God, this is what men make with their paltry little hands. But what God makes, it's going to last forever. My, my, my. There's some promises in this for us. I don't have to be afraid. You better personalize the word of God. It's not enough that it's for mama or daddy or somebody else. I've got to personalize this thing. I've got to know him for myself. How many in the house know him for yourself? You talk, come on. How many of you know him for yourself? Some of you are afraid to say that. My God, you better know him. And you better be able to say, I know him. He knows my name. The devil knows my name. Sons of Sceva trying to cast out the devil, and the devil looked at him and said, Jesus, I know. They said, we adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. Come out. And the devil said, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but I don't know you. You need to have a reputation in heaven and in hell. You need to have a reputation in heaven and in hell. When you pray, God, that's my child calling right there. When you pray, the devil said, oh, no, there they go again. It's not fantasy. You can live under the shadow of the Most High. You can make God your habitation. You can walk in this thing, and this thing can flow like a river of living water in your life. And this thing can be like a well springing up into everlasting life. And there are miracles in the kingdom of God. And there are prayers answered in the kingdom of God. And this thing is alive. Somebody say praise the Lord. Every day of your life, something's trying to crush that out of your consciousness. Every day of your life, something's trying to sap your faith. Every day of your life, something's trying to steal your victory. I've come to tell you tonight, this thing is real. It's the only thing that is real. And you don't have to be afraid. There's a promise for you in the Word of God. Everybody say, I won't be afraid for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Come on. You need to walk with peace in your life. I'm not worried about what people are saying. I'm not worried about what the boss is thinking. I'm not worried about what the stock market's doing. I'm not worried about what Iran and Red China and North Korea are doing. I'm not worried about that. I've got a habitation in the heavens. I've got a habitation in my life. Living under the shadow of the Most High God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on. This is redemptive lift. This thing lifts you up above the experience of the natural. We are not normal. We are not natural. We are aliens and strangers in this earth. I don't belong here anymore. I'm just passing through. Praise God. Everybody say, I'm not afraid. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Now, some of you are afraid of saying that. You're afraid of saying that. You better stand up and say that. 1,000 will fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my side, but it's not going to come nigh me. This word of God turns logic upside down. And I saw thrones, and dominion was given to them. They that sat upon them, they got their heads cut off. For the witness of Jesus, the word of God, because they wouldn't take the mark and they wouldn't bow down and worship the beast. The verse starts, they got their heads cut off. The verse ends, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Yeah. Whew, doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. There's a reality above this. No, you're not on board with this at all, but you better get on board with this. I'm telling you, when you begin to walk in this arena, when you begin to say, I'm living under the shadow of the Most High, I'm living in the house of the Almighty, I've made him my habitation. The booger bears are not scary anymore. Get on board with what's happening in the world and know it's all in the hand of my God. Well, praise God. It's consummate faith. You can live there. Come on, poke your neighbor and say, you can live there. Praise God. Praise God. Would you say, only with my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked? Don't you know we're going to be around the white throne judgment, but we're going to be on the winning side of that thing? The rapture will have already taken place, and we'll be standing there, and there's judgment going to be happening, but it won't be happening to you. You're going to be judged when you stepped out, and you stepped on air, and you just kept right on going up to meet him in the clouds. Praise God. Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I live in God. Praise God. Now, does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Now, this is absolutely biblical. Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. We are totally defined by our experience in God. Before, you were defined by job and by family, but in him we live and move and have our being. Praise God. We are children of the Most High God. Praise God. Verse 10, say, there shall no evil befall me. Neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. Some of you are afraid of this, and already you're saying, but what about? Well, all the whatabouts come under the will and the sovereign act of God. And if God does it, it's all right. But I'm going to meet the plague at the door and say, this house belongs to God. And if you come in, it's just because God said so. And the only thing you're going to be able to do is increase me and bless me and help me. And if it's a fire, we'll be greener when the grass comes back. And if it's a storm, we'll be stronger after the wind has calmed down. And if it's a flood, it'll take us somewhere we needed to go. My God. Now, come on, you've got to get on the winning side of this thing. You've got to look at everything in life through the glasses of the Word of God. Don't be afraid to say what the Word of God has said. Praise God. You say, well, there's a plague in my dwelling right now. Well, there's a couple of things we could say about that. But I'll tell you this. If you belong to God, nothing comes to you but by the will of God. And if God's sending it your way, it's for purpose and it's for good reason. And there's going to be a blessing associated with it. Come on. Job knew that. And Job said, though he slay me, still going to trust him. If he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. Because he knows exactly. Praise God. Verse 11, say, he'll give his angels charge over me. Does this bother you to personalize this? You better personalize the word of God. Say, he'll give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Brother Warren, you can stay up and worry tonight. I'm not going to. I'm going to sleep like a rock. I'm not worried about it. There's angels worrying about it. No, some of you don't believe that. Some of you just don't believe that. I'm telling you, there's no need in you standing up, walking the floor tonight. God's got angels on duty. What are you going to do that an angel can't do? Say, they shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Anybody here ever had God just save your bacon and you knew it was God? Anybody, I mean, somebody just really been delivered and you know it's God. I'm driving down a country road in the middle of the night. The headlights coming on, they blind me. And in the middle of that dark country highway, I hear, stop. And I go, whoa. And my six-cylinder Comet. Huh? 74 model with a vinyl top. Came to a screeching halt, and my wife's going, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I said, didn't you hear that? And there's a big old red horse dead and sideways in our lane, and his back is about that high off the pavement, and that Comet would still be flipping. We just go on out into orbit. I don't know if it had buried us after that, but I do know that no weapon formed against us. I do know there are angels that are set round about us. I know. My wife didn't hear that. That was a voice in the spirit that said, stop. My God, anybody ever walked in one of those places and you know it's God and the devil's been telling you it was your imagination? I'm telling you, God sets his angels to watch over you, to keep you. You need to get bold in this. You need to get real in this. You need to embrace this. This is not just a mental exercise, but this is a supernatural power of God in the kingdom. Come to the earth. Praise God. And in a big shopping situation in a big store, an angel brought Megan by her hand and gave her back to her mother and called them both by name, and they had never seen the woman before in their life. Praise God. And how many times has he done it and we never knew? We were just walking by. Things falling all around us, demons held at bay, evil intent coming our direction, but the sword of the Lord kept it out. I'm telling you how many times we know about multiply that by 1,000, and that's how many times you didn't know, but God was there. You better get on the winning side of this. You better open your mouth, and you better begin to say, I live in the kingdom of God. I live under the shadow of the Most High God. I've made him my habitation. I don't want to live in the world. I don't want to live in Hollywood. I don't want to live a celebrity's life in the NFL or the NBA. I don't dream about those things. I don't want to live a fantasy tabloid life. I want to live in the kingdom of God. I want to live under the shadow of the Most High God. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Somebody just shout about it a little bit. God, I feel Holy Ghost in this house right now. I don't know if I can finish this. I just feel like if I had the legs to do it, I'd jump right through the roof. My God. Praise God. Praise God. We're not going to get nearly as far. I always do this. I bite off more than we can chew. Verse 13. Say, I shall tread upon the lion and the adder. Come on now. Look at your neighbor and say, I walk on lions and on snakes. Come on, by the name of Jesus, by the blood of the cross, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Strike yourself and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, do you believe that? Come on, you can't be a nanny baby. You can't be a little spineless thing and be a child of God. You diminish the power of God. Walking on snakes. I mean, is this the word of God or am I making this up? Say, I'll tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall tremble under my feet. Now, come on. Didn't Jesus say, I'm going to put them all under your feet? Didn't he say, I've given you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy? Come on. Now, did he say that? Is that the word of God? What in the world are you doing? Backing off and backing up and taking the tuck head. You need to walk out of your house or into your house tonight and say, this is my place and it belongs to God. This is my family and we belong to God. This body, this mind, this person, we belong to God. Praise God. You know, this creeping gradualism can eat away at your faith and your joy and your very knowledge of the kingdom of God. And you can, like the frog in the kettle, you can become carnal and lose sight of all of these fantastic promises. And all the enemy's got to do is boo. And you start quaking and trembling in your boots. We need to be terrorizing the demonic forces of this city. They've already lost. The battle's already been fought. When he went to Calvary, he won the victory over every principality and every power. When you engage a brand new battle in the spirit, you need to go in and say, this has already been settled. I've already been given authority here. I've already been given power over this. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 14, he has set his love upon me. Now, this is God talking, and God's talking about you. God says, he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Turn to your neighbor and say, God said, because I love him, he's going to deliver me. And he also said, I'll set him on high because he has known my name. Tell your neighbor, I know the name of God, and he has set me on high. Praise God, because I know his name. Do you realize how few people in this city know the name that is above every name? Do you realize what it makes you and how awesome that makes your situation in God because you know the name of Jesus? Praise God. He shall call upon me. God's talking about you. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I don't care what your natural mind is saying or what the devil has told you. Everybody tell your neighbor, I'm going to call on him and he's going to answer me. Come on, is that the word of God? Somebody say, I'm going to call on him and he's going to answer me. God said about you, I'll be with him in trouble and I'll deliver him and honor him. And about you, God says, with long life will I satisfy him. And show him my salvation. Praise God. Do you love the promise of God? Why don't you clap your hands into him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, could we just stand and give him some high praise for just a minute? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on, high praise. Angels about your house. Victory already given you. God's protection on your life. God's blessing flowing in and out of your life. Anointing pouring out. You know his name. You belong to him. Ah, we praise you. We worship you, we magnify you, we lift you, we exalt you. How wonderful are your ways, oh God. I love living in God's house. I love living in God's house. I love living in God's house. I don't want to live in Tiger's house. I don't want to live in Michael's house. I don't want to live in the White House. I love living in God's house. Praise God. Praise God. We've made the Lord our God our habitation. Moses understood that. The last psalm we studied this morning, he begins by saying, thou hast been our dwelling place in every generation. Praise God. Praise God. Now, these promises always have contingencies. Everything in the Word of God is based upon covenant and pact and contractual arrangement. Quid pro quo. If you will, then God will. If you do, then God will. Praise God. Has anybody ever found God to be unfaithful? Have you found him to be true to his word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a contingency here about dwelling and abiding under the shadow of the Most High. Praise God. Psalms 1 begins, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, everybody say, but. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate day and night. Praise God. You see how he is? He walks in holiness. He separates himself from the world. He won't sit down and talk to somebody that wants to talk bad about the house of God or the people of God or what God's doing. Give me the next one. Everybody say, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. He's going to bring forth his fruit in his season. He's not going to wither at any rate. And whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever. Whatsoever he doeth. Whatsoever he doeth. Whatsoever he doeth. I'm talking about somebody that lives in God's house. I'm talking about somebody that lives under the shadow and in the dwelling place, the place of abiding of the Most High God. My God, my God, there's nothing that can rise up against you if God is for you. Nothing that can staunch your victory if God is on your side. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? My God, that's an overcoming word, and that's an overcoming faith. I believe that. Now, Sister Bonnie, don't get you worshiping too much now. You're on light duty. You're supposed to sit there like a good Methodist and go, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody make her sit down. We want you back on duty soon enough. But I miss Sister Bonnie when she's not in the house. I miss all of you when you're not in the house. Praise God. Praise God. You see what this guy is? Dwelling, living, abiding is full time. It's full time. You can't have a marriage part time. Some of you may be trying it, but it ain't working out too well. Sister Dakota, do you cook supper? If you only... Boy, that was a qualified, careful... If he only came home once every 6 weeks, would you be real keen on cooking supper? Not because of powers and circumstances beyond his control. Just because he just didn't come home. Didn't call, didn't show up. Just floating in and out every 6 weeks. Where's supper? Brother Travis, when you come home and the house is dark and the pots are cold, sounds like a line from a song. And that's like that for long periods of time. You're not going to feel real chummy about paying all the bills, fighting all the beasts away from the door, being the man of the house. Because a marriage is a full-time situation. And if it's going to work, it's got to be full-time. Do you know our covenant in marriage is like our covenant with God? It's got to be full-time. You can't live under the shadow of the Almighty if you just visit the secret place of the Most High. Now, God will let anybody come in the secret place, but you can't just be a transient there. The Word of God said you got to live there, dwell there, abide there. That's the contingency. If you want to live under the shadow of the Almighty, and all of those powerful promises apply to your life. Praise God. I mean, you got to be sold out to this thing. Sold out. Sold out means I've got a tag that says not for sale. It's one of those pieces you see in the store that says sold. That means somebody owns it already. You can't have it. I'm already sold. I belong to God. I'm not for sale. I'm not for rent. No, you can't borrow me. I belong to God. I live in God's house. I'm not interested in going to your house, not to the whorehouse or the crack house or to some other house or some house of another idea or a house of another God or a house of another doctrine. I'm not interested in going to the world's house. I live in God's house. Somebody say, I want to live in God's house. Not visit, not be transient, not be there one day and not the next. God's looking for somebody that'll come and sign on the dotted line and say, I'm here to stay. I'm here to stay. sold out. If you are, shake your neighbor's hand and say, I'm sold out to God. Praise God. Tell him I'm not for sale. Tell him I'm full time. Tell him I've crossed over. My God, does anybody understand that language? I've crossed over. I've crossed that separation line. I've crossed over. I've crossed that separation line. Somebody drew a line in the sand and said, whoever's on the Lord's side, come over here. And I crossed over. And I ain't going back. I've come over on God's side. And I'm not a visitor. And I'm not a transient. I've come to stay. I've come to live. I've come to dwell. I've come to abide. Clap your hands to him. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Are you here to stay? I don't mean in this building. I don't mean in this local assembly. I mean in the house of God, in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody say, I've got a made up mind. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, when you're looking at me, you're looking at the real deal. I've got the genuine apostolic Holy Ghost complete with heebie-jeebies and blood-washed soul, and my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God. One God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, born again. Not ashamed, not ashamed, not ashamed to shout in the church house. Not ashamed to talk about him out on the street. Not ashamed to lift up my hands in a public place. Not ashamed to stand and say, I believe God. I believe his word. I believe in righteousness. I believe in holiness. I don't care what the world is going to do. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, tell your neighbor, I got the real deal. Come on, tell somebody this is a genuine Holy Ghost you're looking at here. I'd like to drag some of you along. You got to get on the winning side of this thing. You can't be casual. You can't be part-time. I don't misunderstand me. We're glad everybody's in the house. But these promises are contingencies, and you don't get the overshadowing of the Almighty if you're a part-timer. And if you haven't made up your mind, praise God. Praise God. I'm not interested in being married to Sister Sutton if she's out looking around for other men in bar rooms on Saturday night. I'm not interested in that. I want a full-time wife. I don't want somebody out looking for something else. God's not interested in having a relationship with you where it's all one-sided. He's pouring it all out, and you're still shopping for something else to pour out your passions on. Gotta live in the secret place. Abide in the secret place. Dwell. That means I've drug up from where I was. I've moved my address to the kingdom of God. I'm living there now. I've got an address change. Praise God. Is that Rose waving her hand back there in the back tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Good to see you in the house. Have you checked out our Bible study in Tagalog on the website? We're going to show it to you before you leave church tonight. And I want you to show it to all your Filipino friends. I believe there's a revival of Filipinos in this town. I believe there's a revival of Filipinos in this town. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to take up your cross and follow after me. What was a cross for? Well, it's a piece of jewelry you wear around your neck. It's an artifact you hang on the wall. It's interior decorator stuff. Little dealy boppers to hang on your ears or plant on the side of one nostril. At the cross, The Jehovah's Witness had a pretty good line. They said, if they killed him with a shotgun, would you wear that around your neck? Nothing sacred about the cross. There's something sacred about what happened there. Lifting up the cross is like lifting up Nehushtan, that old brass serpent that healed him one time. Don't make graven images. Praise God. You got to take up your cross. You want to follow him? You want to live? You want to dwell? You want to abide? You got to take up your cross. Now, in 2006, in America, a cross is cosmetic. It's for a rooftop or an ear or a chain around your neck or something. But in 33 A.D., a cross was to die on. Back up against that pulpit. And they would take you and they would nail your skinny body and put one foot over another. That was a cross. And when he told that to his disciples, it had a far more severe impact than it has on folks today. Because today, oh, a cross. A cross. But a cross was something you died on. A cross was something you gave everything on. And they didn't begin to understand what he was talking about. Because they only knew a Roman cross and you died. They thought he was calling them to martyrdom. In a sense, he was. Paul clarifies this in Romans chapter 12 when he teaches the church, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer up your bodies a living sacrifice. So we're not going to kill you. We're just going to nail that stinking flesh to the cross or lay it, for another imagery, on an altar. So that it doesn't get up and get in the way. Because from now on, you're going to be a spiritual personality. You're going to walk a spiritual walk. You're going to live in the secret place of the Most High. But he said, if you want to do that, you've got to take up a cross. If you want these promises, you've got to be a full-timer, for real, the real deal, genuine, sold out, no backing up. No slowing down, no compromising. Given to God. Crucified together with Christ. Seeing him as God of all creation. Giving himself for me. I am so humbled that he's invited me to come and live at his house. I am so humbled that he's come and laid his hand on you and on me. And he said, I want you to come and live at my house. I want you to come and live under my shadow. I want you to come and feast at my table. I want you to live on my promises. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. It's a contingency. Thank you, Jermaine. Praise God. Jermaine's a fine young man. Good, good young man. Somebody did a good job with him and beat him often. That's right. I won't ask you which had the hand. But if I had to guess, I'd say it was the hand of Mama. Early on and thoroughly. Praise God. Praise God. It is amazing what the world does in a fanatic form to adore and praise and worship its idols and its gods. And they don't have any hesitance about it at all. They'll paint their bodies orange and blue. They'll do anything so that as they're driving or you're seeing them personally or their home, or to, they want you to know that they are fans of Alabama or Auburn or whatever. But if I'm living in the secret place, abiding in the secret place of the Most High, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm not ashamed of my God. Praise God. Praise God. You can't live under these promises and be ashamed. Now, let's do a little Bible study. The secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. The best representation in terms of symbol or language for this is the tabernacle, and God gave it to us so that we could see and understand. And the secret place of the Most High is the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or in the temple, because that's where the shadow of the Almighty could be found, the Shekinah glory. When they were in the wilderness, there was a cloud that hovered above, and the shadow of God was always on that place. To get into that place, you had to move through a process. You had to be in covenant with God. You had to pass by an altar of sacrifice. And we will apply that just quickly and loosely to our own experience, because the scripture gives us license to do that. The altar of sacrifice is your life of repentance before God. The brazen laver was a brazen pitcher of water or basin of water that they washed in. And you've got to keep your life clean if you're going to go into that holy place, into that secret place of the Most High. You can't bring your trash and your bad attitudes and your ugly spirits and your sin and your carnality in there. You've got to kill it on the altar, nail that flesh down again, wash your spirit in that washing bin, move through a place of light and revelation, eat the bread of the Word of God for strength, strike up that sacrifice of incense so that there's a sweet smelling savor in the presence of God, and that is your prayer life. You can't walk into that Holy of Holies. You can't live in the Holy of Holies. You can't have a vibrant experience in God and not have a prayer life. This is not a condemning message. This is a come on and get on board message. There's nothing like that prayer life where you stand between two worlds and that incense comes up and the smoke billows out to where men are and into that veil where God is, and you literally bring two worlds together. That's what happens when we pray for these homes where we're going to go and knock the door. That's what happens when you're in that prayer room. That's what happens when you're in your prayer closet. You're pulling the things of God and the things of men together, your needs and your family and your friends and the power of God, and you're bringing the two together. You can't get into that secret place of the Most High without pressing through the veil, and that veil typifies the flesh. The Word of God says Jesus tore the veil of his flesh on the cross. Praise God. You can come down, Brother Michael. I appreciate what you're doing. Praise God. He's getting on board here. All right. Praise God. Praise God. I love this. I tell you, I love this church. I love your response. This is nuts. I tell you what. You think that this church has been wild, and you think that we've seen some things and heard some things and experienced some things. You think there's been some glory in this house. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm just telling you, you haven't seen the beginning of it yet. God saves the best for last. He's calling us up and on and in. And my God, I'm excited about these children. I'm excited about these young people. But I've got to press through the veil of the flesh. There's got to be a tearing of the flesh. Now, when I enter into that Holy of Holies, in the Holy of Holies, there is perfect provision. And perfect provision is manna that, left on its own outside, would spoil overnight. On the Sabbath, it would last 2 days. But in the presence of God, it was made to last for eternity. the provision of God. Why would you want to live in that secret place? The provision of God never spoils. It never goes bad. The manna is always fresh in the presence of God, under the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place of the Most High. In that place there was the rod of Aaron. It was the authority of God to fit a man's hand. If you need authority in your life, in your family, in your home, on the job, in your marriage, in your witness, in your ministry, if you need authority, you need to live in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me tell you again, in that secret place there is authority that fits the hand of a man. God has given you authority over your city. God's given you authority over those spiritual things that come against your house and your family. My God, turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've got authority in my hand over everything that comes against my life. But that's only if you live, dwell, abide in the secret place and under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise God. In that secret place of the Most High, there is the immutable, unchangeable Word of God, always fresh and alive, ever permanent. Going in there, you have clarity, not the hubbub and all of the dissonance of the world, but clarity of the Word of God. In that secret place of the Most High, there is perfect mercy, pure mercy, symbolized by the pure gold on top of that ark. We call it the mercy seat. It was made of pure gold on either end of that. Praise God. Brother Ted, would you come? And Brother Cedric, would you come? And you guys don't have wings tonight, so we'll just have to settle for you reaching over in an ark and touching one another's hands. Just touch lightly. Yeah. Now, on the end of each end of that mercy seat, beaten out of the mercies of God, were figures that were representative of the people of God. Perfect fellowship. Perfect fellowship. There wasn't just one of them. Because you can't dwell in the secret place of the Most High God all by yourself. You can't live there all by yourself. If two or three of you come together, there I am in your midst. And I know God will visit with you in your prayer life, but he put two of these there. And the church uses the plural. And we are a people and a body and lively stones jointly fitly framed together. They are not separate entities that are standing on that mercy seat. They are beaten out of that gold and fashioned out of that gold. And they are then the product, the extension of mercy. If you're here tonight and you love God and you live for God and your sins have been washed away, you are an extension of the mercies of God. We have no hope, no life, no heaven, no promise, no eternal life without the mercies of God. We are the extension, the product of the mercies of God. And as they stand upon perfect mercy, in the box beneath their feet, perfect word, perfect authority, perfect provision, they have perfect fellowship one with another, and they touch. But in the real now, we don't have winged creatures here with us. We'd use them. But in the real, they're not touching with their hands. If you read in the Old Testament prophet, when he saw these creatures, they had wings. He said, and beneath the wings, they had the hands of a man. Our works, our hands, are always subordinate to the spiritual activity. And it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I don't want to keep you too long tonight. I hope I'm not out beyond your range of patience or endurance tonight. But they're touching at that place where they meet in the spirit. We're not here together, Brother Roman, because we have an affinity in the natural. We may or we may not. We have golfers in this house. We have hunters. We have carpenters. We have doctors. We have businessmen. We have students. We have people from different ethnic backgrounds and different cultures. We are not a club where we come together because of our natural pursuits or our natural interests. The place where we meet is in a place of the Spirit. The reason we're here is because of the name of Jesus and the Word of God and the kingdom of God and the goodness of God and the mercies and the grace of God. That's where we meet. They touch at their wingtips and their hands are folded, lost in the folds of their spirits. Perfect fellowship. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And they stand there under the shadow of the Almighty. In that connection, they are in the secret place of the Most High. I appreciate it. Guys, let me give you two or three more scriptures and we're going to quit here. I've run out the other end of emotionalism tonight, but let me just deliver to you what's on my heart. John chapter 15 and beginning in verse 4. Are you okay? Anybody want to live in God's house? Praise God. John 15 and 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Say, I've got to abide in him. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, he that lives in me, dwells in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can't do nothing. You're not going to be a soul winner without living in that secret place. This church is not going to be a soul winning, a cultivated field, a productive vineyard for God if we're not living in that secret place. He said, you got to abide in me. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth. We don't have a choice in this thing. You can't be saved and not abide there. You can't be saved and be a transient there. You've got to have a made up mind. You've got to get the real deal. You've got to be the genuine article. This is not some casual suggestion. This is the ultimatum from the throne of God. I've got to be real in this. Verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, it shall be done. A contingency again. And herein is my Father glorified. You want to glorify God, you got to bear fruit. To bear fruit, you've got to abide under the secret place, under the shadow of the Most High God. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my... How do I abide? How do you define that? How do I abide in God? He said, you abide in me if you keep my commandments. You'll abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You will never be happy living for God out on the edge. You'll never be fulfilled living for God with a foot in the world and a foot in the church, and you won't survive that way. Let me tell you, children, it is evening time. It's time to come into the house. It's time to come into an experience in God. It is not a day to be a carnal Christian. It is a day to get your head screwed on straight and come on into the house of God. I feel a Holy Ghost punctuation on this tonight. This is my commandment. Everybody say, this is his commandment. That we love one another, even as he has loved us. Praise God. Abiding and dwelling in the secret place and under the shadow of the Most High God is about keeping commandments and about loving one another. About our wings touching, and we're looking at one another over the blood of his sacrifice. And so I don't have any hatred or animosity. There's no difference between me and you. You can't offend me because the blood is there. And I myself am standing on the mercies of God. How can I refuse you mercies? And so there's no conflict and there's no friction and there's no disdain and there's no caste structure in the church where somebody's better than somebody else, but we be brethren and we are connected in the Spirit of God. And while we do that, we live in the secret place. The only way to live there, because I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to live in God's house with a bad attitude. You're not going to live under the shadow of His almighty power and have a dirty, filthy, divisive attitude. Praise God. You can come join in with us and hoot and holler on a Sunday night, but not everything in the church is in the church. It's time to get your life right. He that loves his brother abides, lives in the light, 1 John 2 and 10. Hebrews chapter 3, we're living in his house. Moses had honor because he built a house, but Jesus has honor because he is the one who the house belongs to. Let's stand together. Would you come down around the altar tonight? Anybody want to live under the shadow of the Most High? Live in the presence of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you're first, got to step up. I guess we'll do this until we get in the new building, and then we won't have to do that for a while. Praise God. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 19. Would you say, "Now therefore, I am no more a stranger and a foreigner, but I'm a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God." Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I live in God's house." Praise God. Say, "I'm built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together." When you say that, hug somebody up kind of close to you. Tell them, "We're fitly framed together." Praise God. You know, when they built that temple, they worked the stones out in a field. When they brought the stones to the workplace, they were perfectly shaped and hewn. And so there wasn't the sound of a chisel or a hammer. They just fit together. Praise God. Praise God. We are the stones in the habitation, the building of the house of God. And you just can't have rough edges and things that don't fit with your brother, your sister. You need to get out into a place of prayer and say, "God, knock all the burrs off of me. God, knock all the sharp edges off of me so that I fit with the people of God." Praise God. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom? Turn to your neighbor and say, "In whom you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Can I tell you that the church of the living God is the house of God, is the habitation of God, and I have to make my way into the church and fit in the church and love the church and meet in the Spirit in the church. Put your wing up there, said Kelly. She was going, "I've got to be fitly framed together." Because I just tell you, I want all those promises. I want those angels. I want that anointing. I want that covering. When something knocks on my door, I want Jesus to open the door. Praise God. Let's just pray for a little bit. Wherever you are in your spirit regarding this word tonight, just lift it up before the Lord right now. Hallelujah. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to cry out, cry out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God. Touch this church family, oh God. Shut the mouth of every lying, hindering thing. Break the hand of everything that would hinder and divide. Show yourself mighty here, oh God. Let the Shekinah of God move in this family. Move in each of these homes. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you lay your hands on somebody by you? I mean, get personal with somebody. Get there right by somebody and pray for them. Call them by name. Pray for them. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wonderful presence of the Lord in the house tonight. I apologize for keeping you so long tonight. I just love what I'm feeling, and I love what God's telling us as a church family. Praise God. If you want to remain in prayer on the altar, do that. We need all new moms and pregnant moms to meet in the prayer room, and the decoration team has a meeting in the prayer room. God bless you. There's prayer here tomorrow night. Be sure to pray for this outreach. Be sure to pray for Brother Hood that's coming in a week, and Brother Godwin too. God bless you. Oh, look, Benjamin's in church.